to grow. In the 1950s, some teachers became the targets of anti-communist hysteria. This highlighted the importance of having a union to protect academic freedom. The 1960s was a time of increased teacher actions and strikes. The American Federation of Teachers more than tripled its membership from 60,000 to 200,000 by the end of the decade. Today, the American Federation of Teachers represents more than 1 million members across the nation. While under increasing attacks, teachers are an important force in today's national labor movement.
You're listening to X-Ray FM.
KXRY Portland.
At 91.1 and 107.1 FM.
And in Nehalem.
Wheeler.
Manzanita.
And Rockaway Beach.
At 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere.
Live and archived.
At xray.fm.
Radio is yours.
Hey, real quick. I ain't gonna hold you, but while I have you, local media matters, but it needs your help. News has changed a lot in the last few years. Whether you see it as a difficult reality you can't look away from or something motivating you to take action, it's undeniable that the stakes have changed. We know local news isn't as flashy, but we also know that it's more important than ever. But local news is being threatened, and as corporate consolidation tries to tell us what's happening in our community from afar, we know that the voices in our backyard need to be amplified. But local media can't survive without community support. Here at X-Ray, our news content is curated by volunteers who give us their time, expertise, and energy to do a show because they love it and know it matters. From every producer, writer, editor, booker, and host, this team is working harder than ever to bring you news and information that affects your life. At X-Ray, it's not about what gets the most clicks or the best ratings for corporate sponsors. It's about what connects our listeners and makes a difference in their lives. We partner with organizations you trust that are doing critical work reporting, connecting, and engaging folks all over town, and lend our platform to other local media outlets that help us understand our city. From groups like the Portland Mercury or Street Roots to Kickstand Comedy and Bike Portland, just to name a few. We're working to bring you a full view of our city and where our place in the world is. We're bringing you voices of the kind of folks you often won't find on other news sources. From groups working to advocate for and support the houseless, organizations who just want to swim in the Willamette, folks working to regain indigenous food sovereignty, or an author fighting for better representation in their genre. We pride ourselves on bringing you diverse voices from all over town, hosted by people just like you in your own backyard. And they're working hard to change their communities for the better every time they hit the air. So please consider a sustaining gift of 15 little buckaroos a month. That's 180 a year to keep this party popping. And we'll go back to the show now because I know the can just says something extra ridiculous.
Fridays at 6 p.m. on X-Ray. Long distance call with me, your operator, Joe Ball, bringing you a weekly mix of retrofuturistic musical optimism internationally. With city pop, boogie, house, jazz, balearic, reggae, disco, and more. Start your weekend off right here. Long Distance Call, Fridays at 6 on X-Ray FM. We'll be right back.
them lots of sex, perversion and rape. Give them lots of violence and plenty to hate.
Giant ship carrying grain that had been stolen from Ukraine by Russians just apparently was just tied up in Israel. Netanyahu is like, yeah, sure, Russia, we'll take his stolen grain from Ukraine. Oh, my God. It just kind of points out the craziness of just, international stuff that's going on right now. But and a piece of that, of course, has to do with the Straits of Hormuz and, our attacking Iran and oil policy and all that, which has provoked Congressman Ro Khanna, a regular guest on this program. In fact, he'll be on, is it this Friday or next? He'll be on a week from this week. To call for a new energy policy for the United States. He says, this country is crying out for a new energy policy, which I agree with. He said, one that doesn't have us subject to the whims of the profits of the big oil companies. He's pointing out, right now, we have become one of the world's largest—actually, we've become the world's largest exporter of gasoline. We are— refining oil, we're importing oil, we're refining it. We keep all the poisons from the refineries. Thus, we have Cancer Alley. It's mostly black communities downwind from the refineries in Texas and Louisiana, and all these people get the poison, they get the cancers. You and I pay for the Medicaid that covers them, which is grim, but they're getting the cancer in the first place is even more grim. I mean, it's a true humanitarian crisis here in the United States. Why? So that our big oil companies and the petrobillionaires who support the GOP and Donald Trump and things like ALEC can make more money. But we're selling gasoline to the world, and that is a part of why we're paying, in some cases, $5 and $6 a gallon for gasoline. I mean, it's around $5 a gallon here. National average is a little over $4. In some parts of California, Hawaii, Alaska, it's over $6, and in some cases, over $7 a gallon. So Ro Khanna is saying, let's pass a law that says that whenever the national average price of gasoline is over $3.12 a gallon, which is roughly where it was when Trump started his criminal, illegal, insane bombing attack on Iran, along with Netanyahu and Israel. That whenever the price of oil or gasoline goes above $3.12 a gallon, that there is an absolute end to the export of gasoline. You may not export gasoline. So the domestic, because, I mean, they're estimating right now that domestic producers, these refineries here in the United States that are selling gasoline overseas and to us at inflated prices, as a result of this war, just as a result of what's happened over the last couple of weeks, have made $63 billion in extra profit. That's $63,000 million. He says that the oil companies are profiteering. Sheldon Whitehouse says we should have a windfall profits tax like we did back in the 70s. I agree with both of these. Sheldon Whitehouse's windfall tax, profits tax would be given, all of that money would be given back to taxpayers as a essentially a rebate. So, you know, they're going to charge you a buck extra at the pump. Well, you're going to get that buck back in the mail. So a couple of ideas. Gas prices have topped $6.50 in parts of in Rokana's district. He says, we need to use this moment to call for renewable energy as energy security. You know, the Republicans love to use this word security. Oh, yeah, national security. This kind of domestic security. We got to get these brown people out because of security. And we got to renew the, you know, Section 702 of the National Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act because of security. And, you know, quack, 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 right? Well, security, our nation's security is trembling in the face of this war and the fact that the oil companies own the Republican Party. And so the average American can no longer get the kind of benefits that you would normally get from putting solar on your house or the utility doing solar. I mean, look, Copenhagen, Denmark. A couple of years ago, they mandated that every building in the city have solar on its roof. And if you can't afford it, there were generous subsidies. They've reached that point where pretty much every building in Copenhagen that has any sunlight at all has solar panels on it. Copenhagen now generates more electricity than the entire city consumes. Their electricity is free, at least during the day. And, you know, and they've got some substantial storage systems for the night. So anyway, Kana says, we need to use this movement to call for renewable energy as energy security. This shows why we need to invest in solar, wind, geothermal, and battery storage and electric vehicles. Amen. I couldn't have said it better. Meanwhile, Zoran Mamdani ran for mayor of New York City on a kind of an eat the rich platform. You know, affordability was the word, but and so now they're going after these luxury second homes in New York City. Apparently, this is a thing, right? Rich people all over the world, they want to have a nice place to live when they come to New York City. Most of the year, these fancy apartments are unoccupied. Are they called pied-à-terre? I don't know how to pronounce that. Do you know how to pronounce that? No, it's French. And it's basically, you know, your spare apartment or your apartment for your mistress or whatever. And so what he's suggesting, and he's been suggesting this for a while, by the way, is that any apartment that is a second residence in New York City that is worth over $5 million, pay a surcharge, an extra tax. And that if it's worth more than $15 million, the tax goes up. And that if it's worth more than $25 million, the tax goes up even more. So it's a progressive tax on the symbols of wealth, right, of your second apartment, or third, or fourth, or fifth, or eighth, or 12th. And the problem that he's had with this, by the way, there's 13,000 of these that they've identified in New York City in the five boroughs. So this would only impact 13,000 very, very wealthy people who can afford to have a second or third or fifth or whatever apartment in New York. And they estimate that this would raise over $5 billion that could be used to provide affordable housing to New Yorkers who are not rich, which is most New Yorkers. And the problem that Zoran Mamdani has had up until this point is that Kathy Hochul, the governor, has not been willing to go along with it. I mean, you know, governors of New York State have historically been kind of caught in the middle between the really, really rich people in New York who fund a lot, and, you know, there's this old machine that goes back to the Tammany Hall days and probably back to the American Revolutionary era, and the citizens, the average working people. And so Kathy Hochul had been up until yesterday saying, I don't want to piss off the rich people. You know, we don't want them angry with us Democrats. I don't want them angry with me. We don't want them to leave New York City. You know, bloody, bloody, blah. Well, yesterday she changed her position. God bless her. I don't know if she's up for re-election this fall or not, but whether she is or not, it's a good move. It's a very good move. So the city council speaker, Julie Menon, calls this a sensible step. Although the Real Estate Board of New York, REBNY, says this is a terrible idea. It'll depress property values and discourage investment. Right. The other problem is that you can't raise taxes on property in New York City without the approval of the state legislature. So, and there's a lot of members of the New York State Legislature who are wholly owned by rich people who live in New York City and have second apartments. So, not holding my breath, but I think that this is a really good step in the right direction. And hopefully we see other jurisdictions doing the same. You know, I would think that in particular San Francisco probably has a very similar situation or problem or whatever you want to call it. So what's on your mind today? There's a lot to talk about. I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. It's 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Talk media for the sane among us. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I will be right back with you. Taking your calls. And welcome back. And where did my mouse go? There it is. Jane in Seattle. Hey, Jane, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. What's on my mind is I think a major problem with the DNC is AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee.
I agree.
And the reason I say this, oh, good, is 70% of members of Congress take money from them.
I know.
Including many, many Democrats.
Yep.
Which
oh.
is why they, you know, corporate Democrats, mm-hmm. they refuse. That's why they refused to say Gaza was a genocide and refused to stop giving Israel money for war.
Yeah.
Why the hopefully the resolution will pass today with Bernie Sanders, but Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are really in tight with AIPAC,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big major problem.
I agree.
And okay, and right now in Democratic primaries, there are a lot of really good people running who do not take AIPAC money,
mm-hmm.
but AIPAC, with their dark money shell PACs, are throwing millions into our Democratic primaries. So I think it's really yeah. important for us to, talk about who isn't on board with AIPAC and who is,
yeah.
and try to get as many of the progressive Democrats to win their primaries.
Yeah.
And I have a really good example. I'm from Seattle, and not in my district, but in Washington, district number one, which is Redmond, where Microsoft is from, mm-hmm. there's Susan DelBene. She's the ninth richest member of Congress, and there's a fellow that's running against her. His name is Hunter Gordon, and he does not take any of the AIPAC money. He's a home care aide, a union worker from Redmond, running for Congress to fight for working people and stand up to the billionaire class.
Good,
and that's
yeah.
what I had to say.
Yeah. Well, we saw this here where I live. What's the name of our congresswoman, Sean?
Dexter.
Yeah, that's Maxine Dexter. Maxine Dexter is a fine person, and she's a physician, an emergency room physician. And she was part of a group of Democrats that were running in the primary in the last election, you know. And one of the people who was in that election was Pramila Jayapal's sister, Sheila. who lives here.
Oh, right,
and,
right.
You know, was on I think the Metro Council, you know, held an elected position here in the county. And it looked like Sheila was probably going to win. And suddenly we started getting these four-color, fancy, well, you know, I mean, I used to be in the advertising industry. These things cost a lot of money to produce. Like every other day in the mail, getting these things talking about how Sheila Jayapal was corrupt and she was terrible. And she, you know, and it was all paid for by some PAC that nobody had ever heard of. And we couldn't figure out where the money was coming from. And they were carpet bombing us with TV ads, just trash talking Sheila. And now Maxine, who ended up winning that race because of this, I don't know if she takes money from AIPAC or not, but she was not, you know, like explicitly pro-Israel or anything. She was just sort of the bystander beneficiary of this. But it turned out, we learned, in the last days of the election, because they had, you know, fiddled with the disclosure dates, that it was all AIPAC behind this. And they just knocked out Sheila Jayapal. They, you know, the person that we all wanted to represent us, and not to slam Maxine Dexter. I love her. She's doing a great job. It's just wrong. Jane, I'm out of time. I'm sorry, but thank you for the story. Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. And what's on your mind today? Eileen in Columbus, Georgia. Hey, Eileen, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I want to talk about the Israel thing coming from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm Jewish, and I've always been very pro-Israel, but Netanyahu is driving me fucking crazy. And it so pained me to hear Mark Pocan speak earlier, but he's right.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right.
I'm deep down
in my heart. Huh?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm not Jewish, and I'm pro-Israel, but not pro-Netanyahu. Yeah. I mean, this guy is just going off the edge. I mean, I've worked in Israel. I helped start what is now one of the largest child care institutions in the state of Israel, in the nation of Israel. I've been there many times. I have dear friends who live in Israel and who I keep in touch with regularly. And still, what Israel is doing in Gaza is genocide. And what Netanyahu is doing in southern Beirut in Lebanon is explicitly a war crime, and his encouraging Donald Trump to attack Iran was insane.
You are not going to get an argument from me on that, and it's painful. It hurts so much. Do you see a world ever post Netanyahu where Israel can, you know, get back in the world's good graces?
I think so. I mean, Israel's had some very progressive politicians in the past. You know, I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, when I was working in Israel and visiting regularly, it was a pretty progressive country. I mean, you know, it's just like the right-wingers took over.
They pay for abortions and IVF, and they still have a huge, you know, LGBT event every year.
Yeah, I mean,
but
in many ways, it's
their leadership is out of their minds.
Yeah, absolutely right. And they've done it by partnering with this hard right, whose principal shtick is that they live on what here we would call welfare, and their kids don't have to serve in the military.
Exactly. That drives me crazy too.
Yeah.
But so, I just wanted to hit it from that perspective. And I think I speak for millions of other Jews who, there's nothing Jewish about what Netanyahu is doing. There's not one Jewish value that he...
I agree. And the thing that really concerns me about it, I mean, you know, there's only, 15 million Jews in the whole world? I mean, the thing that concerns me about this is that what Netanyahu is doing is causing a spike in anti-Semitism everywhere.
And
he's just doing it to stay out of prison and to suck up to this hard right faction that he's been able to kind of cobble together with essentially bribery. You know, your kids won't have to serve in the military, and no, you don't have to pay taxes, and yes, we'll subsidize your lifestyle, and oh yeah, we'll steal some land for you. I mean, you know, it's really a tragedy.
I'm horrified by what's going on in the West Bank too. You know, hearing some of these stories about, you know, the American kids who've been killed.
Oh, the murders.
Or anybody who's been killed over there.
Yeah,
it's breaking my heart.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Eileen, thank you for the call.
Why, thank you, sir. Thank
nice
you for listening.
From you. Yeah, sure enough. Jessica in Chicago. Hey, Jessica, what's on your mind today?
Thank you for your incredible show. I believe...
Jessica, we have the dreaded phone problem again. We're going to... I don't know if this is our provider. We're going to have Chase reach out to them. Jessica, I'm going to put you on hold and pick you up on the other side of the next break. And in the meantime, Jeremy, she's on line two, if you can find out what's going on there. Matt in Portland. Hey, Matt, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. It's been a long time since I called into your show. I'm a subcontractor here in the Pacific Northwest, and I work in the technology field. And as of late, I've had a lot of my clients that are not paying their invoices. And I fear that this could be a canary in the coal mine moment to 2008.
I'm seeing the same thing here, Matt. It's not paying invoices, but we've seen a real drop off in advertisers who are advertising on our program. And at first I thought, is it us? And it turns out I talked to my friends at SiriusXM, and no, it's right across the board. Conservative shows are having the same problem. And we're also seeing revenue down on Substack. I think these things are indicators that we are actually in a recession right now, and nobody's acknowledging it.
I totally agree. I mean, it started at the first of the year where we signed some contracts with some companies specifically out of the Bay Area, mm-hmm. and they have not paid, their 50% down, which is what we require mm-hmm. on any initial contract before we begin work.
Yeah.
And they just haven't paid any of this money. And I had a CEO today on a video conference call admit that the company that hired them, which is an AI mm-hmm. surgery company, has not paid them either.
Yeah. Well, what's going on, Matt, is that Trump is doing what he promised. He's running the government like a business, and pretty much every business he's ever started has failed and gone bankrupt, with the exception of his property business, which only survived with money from Russia. So here we are. Matt, I got to run, but thank you. Spot on.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be back with your calls on the other side of this break here at the bottom of the hour. Wants your bank account. The Electoral College is dying, and Mondami feasts on the rich. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report. News for the public, not the powerful. You can follow us at commonwealthreport.news. Sanders pulls the pin on Trump's bomb factory for Israel. Bernie Sanders is done asking nicely. This week, the Vermont senator is forcing Senate votes to block nearly $500 million in arms sales to the Netanyahu government. We're talking about $151.8 million worth of 1,000-pound bombs used in Gaza and Lebanon, and $295 million worth of Caterpillar bulldozers used to demolish Palestinian homes. Secretary of State Rubio invoked emergency powers to skip congressional review and rush these weapons through without a vote. U.S. taxpayers have spent tens of billions in support of the racist, extremist Netanyahu government, Sanders said. Enough is enough. Senate rules let Sanders force a floor vote with a simple majority and no filibuster. 60% of Americans now view Israel unfavorably. The Democratic caucus is moving. These votes are on the record, and they matter. Will even Italy's Meloni walk away from Israel? Here's one for the history books. Italy's far-right Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, one of Israel's closest European allies, just suspended her country's defense cooperation agreement with Israel. The deal, in place since 2003, covers the transfer of military equipment and technology research. Meloni acted after Israeli forces fired warning shots at a convoy of Italian UN peacekeepers in Lebanon. Italy's foreign minister called Israel's ambassador to Rome for the third time since 2024. Trump, furious at his political ally, publicly snapped at Maloney in an interview. Meanwhile, a European Citizens Initiative calling on the EU to suspend its association agreement with Israel just crossed 1 million signatures. Israel dismissed Maloney's move as meaningless, claiming the pact never had any substantive content anyway. Try telling that to the million Europeans who disagree. Is Trump getting ready to seize your bank account? Here's a story that should alarm every American. The Trump administration is moving forward on an executive order that would require banks to collect citizenship documentation from every customer. Treasury Secretary billionaire Scott Bessent confirmed it's already in progress. The stated goal is pushing undocumented immigrants out of the banking system. But banking experts warn this would strip millions of ordinary Americans of their accounts, including Trump's own voters. Only half of Americans have passports. In West Virginia, just 2 out of 10 people own one. The 10 states with the lowest passport rates all voted for Trump every time. 1 in 10 Americans can't locate their birth certificate. No bank account means no direct deposit and no bill paying. This isn't immigration enforcement. It's economic warfare on working people. Can Virginia's new law finally bury the Electoral College? Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger signed a landmark bill this week, making Virginia the 19th member of the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Under the compact, member states pledge their electoral votes to whoever wins the national popular vote, not just their state's winner. Virginia brings the compact to 222 of the 270 electoral votes needed to take effect, just 48 short. When it hits 270, it ends the Electoral College's power to hand the presidency to someone who lost the popular vote, something that's happened 5 times, including twice for Donald Trump. 63% of Americans support the popular vote system, per Pew Research. Republicans are calling it unconstitutional. That's no surprise. The Electoral College is the only thing keeping them in power. Ro Khanna fights back against big oil's war on your wallet. Gas prices are on fire and getting worse. Crude oil is trading above $100 a barrel because of Trump's stupid war against Iran, and Americans are watching pump prices climb by the day. California Congressman Ro Khanna is introducing legislation to ban U.S. gasoline exports whenever the national average price exceeds $3.12 a gallon, a threshold we've already blown past. Here's the outrage. America is now the world's largest exporter of motor gasoline, while families struggle at the pump. Big oil is shipping our supply overseas for maximum profit. Khanna says we need a new energy policy, not driven by oil company greed. His bill faces long odds in this Congress, but the point is clear. Working people are bleeding at the pump while oil executives pocket the profits. Mayor Mamdani finally gets to eat the rich. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani just scored his biggest win yet, and it tastes delicious. Governor Kathy Hochul, who had been blocking Mamdani's tax the rich agenda for months, flipped and backed a brand new annual tax on luxury second homes in New York City worth $5 million or more. This is the first pied-à-terre tax of its kind in New York State history. These are the apartments owned by billionaires and global elites that sit empty most of the year while working New Yorkers can't pay rent. Hochul's office estimates the tax will generate at least $500 million a year. Mamdani called it a step toward making the ultra-wealthy pay their fair share. 62% of New Yorkers support taxing the rich. Pull up a chair. The feast has begun. And that's the way it is today, Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. I'm Tom Hartman. Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. You know, other countries enjoy benefits like free health care in college, modern mass transit, affordable housing, food, and drugs. They also have inexpensive internet and phone service without companies listening and selling their information. Schools that don't need to mention school shooters. Streets and parks filled with pedestrians and children instead of tents and homeless people. We, on the other hand, have the world's largest collection of billionaires. Most Americans probably didn't realize this was the choice they were making back in the election of 1980 when Reagan and Bush promised morning in America. But here we are. We have been just basically sold out to the billionaires by all these years of Republican, well, Reaganomics. What do we do about it? Well, there's a lot we can do about it, and it starts with getting politically active. There's a great op-ed about this over at HartmanReport.com. It's titled, America Chose Wealth Over Well-Being. Check it out. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. Bob in Farnham, Virginia. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind?
Hello, my friend. In regards to Ro Khanna's proposed legislation regarding gas prices, I thought that I remembered reading years ago about legislation that Congress deregulated, or there had been similar regulation in place, and then around 2015, 2016, they said the heck with it.
That had to do exclusively with crude oil that was produced in the United States, and that went into effect in the 1970s, and it was taken down during the Obama administration. I think in 2015. I think your memory is right. And but it never covered the exports of refined products. We've been exporting gasoline, diesel fuel, jet fuel, and other refined petroleum products, chemicals, and everything else, forever. So what Bernie is suggesting is, Ro Khanna is suggesting, is a ban on the export of gasoline, of refined products, which is, it would be a first.
That would be terrific.
I agree.
And to use their sales pitch of America First, that should help make it an easy sale.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm of two minds on this, because on the one hand, as long as gas prices are high, it encourages people to buy electric vehicles, which is a good thing for America, for the world. I mean, you know, global warming is coming at us, and it's picking up speed, and it's ugly, and it's getting uglier, and people are dying, and all that kind of stuff. On the other hand, there's a lot of people who have to drive to work, can't afford to buy a new car or even a used car, or live in a place where it just wouldn't be possible for them to regularly plug in an EV. And if you have to use the EV chargers, you know, that you drive up to and you put a credit card into, that's pretty much the same cost as gasoline. I mean, it's only really cheap if you charge it at home. And so, you know, I don't want to screw those people. But, you know, so I'm kind of torn.
A lot of the manufacturers have said they're going to stop. I think Ford is going to quit their Lightning.
Yeah, my son has one, a Lightning F-150. It is the coolest truck I have ever been in my life. And, yeah, they have already stopped production of it.
Well, here in Virginia, there's such a rage going on with so many data centers proposed. That we're really afraid of what our electric bills are going to go to. We already pay through the nose through a cooperative, but you know, it's
at least you have a co-op. I mean, you know, we've got a for-profit company here. They're always looking for ways to stick it to us and jack up the prices. I'm curious, Bob. You know, we had an earlier caller, a regular caller to the program. He's a reasonable conservative, Republican, and he was saying that Spanberger's popularity is in the toilet. And he cited a study. I take him at his word. I'm just curious your thoughts on how average Virginians are responding to Spanberger and what being a moderate Democrat means when that label is applied to her. Is that something that you're familiar with and you can speak to?
I've been here 14 or 15 years. I'm a come here as far as the locals are concerned. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough to be a citizen of the planet or a United States citizen. You have to be born here.
Oh, I know. I went through that when we moved to New Hampshire and Vermont. Small states.
The only opinions that I see regularly would be like on a Facebook page, and the ignorance is astounding. It's just astounding.
Yeah.
So they all hate her.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
I hope it's different up north than in other places. Yeah. I think she's doing good things.
Well, you get on Facebook or any of the social media, frankly, and number one, you've got an algorithm that's biased in favor of the conservative commentators. and content. And then number two, you've got all these right-wing bots, and it turns out an awful lot of them are coming out of Russia. And it's just terrible. Bob, thanks. Thanks for the call, and thanks for bringing that up. It's a great conversation. I appreciate it. Mike in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Thanks. Long-time viewer, 20 years.
Wow.
I just want to say this. I watch about 10 hours a day of media about Abby Phillips, Lawrence O'Donnell, Rachel Maddow. There's not one thing being talked about right now, and that's oil and tax subsidies that the American taxpayers are paying to the fossil fuel industry.
Right, hundreds of billions a year.
I am mad at the Democratic Party right now because no one on TV or the media is mentioning the fact that in Trump's big, beautiful bill, we're giving them an increase from $30 billion a year to $35 billion a year over the next 10 years in the future.
Yeah.
So with the big windfield profit the oil companies are making, like you said earlier in your show, they've made $64 billion in windfall since the war started out. Plus, Trump killed all these clean energy products, $7.85 billion worth, 237 clean energy projects he killed. Why aren't there any Democrats in Congress trying to make an amendment on Trump's big, beautiful bill to end any tax subsidies right now? No one's talking about the money that we're giving them every year under the table for their lobbyists to give money to
I can
money
tell
to
you
our
for
politicians.
A fact, Mike, that when they were debating that legislation, there were a lot of Democrats who were yelling about exactly what you're talking about. It's just that, you know, that passed without a single Democratic vote. It was purely Republicans. So the beef that you have is not with the Democratic Party. And by the way, there's no such thing as a Democrat Party. That's the old Joe McCarthy slur. It's not with the Democratic Party. It's with the Republicans. They passed that law.
We should not be giving them all $35 billion a year over the next 10 years.
I agree.
When we don't have insurance, we don't have affordable. We're in a recession. We don't have affordable insurance, health care, housing. It's everything is in the toilet, and no one's talking about the tax subsidies to the fossil fuel industry. Yeah. We could use all that money for so many other good programs.
I agree.
It's just crazy that no one's talking about it on TV.
And it's not that nobody's talking about it. It's the on TV part. You're absolutely right about that. And that's because the TV networks don't want to take on the oil companies either. They love it when they advertise. But you also said the word affordable, and that's another one of the things that's been making me crazy lately. Is that prices have been going up, but wages haven't, and nobody talks about the wage part of that. I mean, you still have a federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour that the Republicans are clinging on to like a lifeboat off the Titanic, which is wrong.
You got Trump on TV saying that our hemisphere, we're good. We don't need any oil because we got a lot of it here in America. We got Venezuela oil. We got American oil. We're good. But it's a global commodity is oil. Yeah. The whole problem right now is oil.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're subsidizing the oil fossil fuel industry.
We're subsidizing them because five corrupt Republicans on the U.S. Supreme Court said it is perfectly legal for a big business like the oil industry to buy members of Congress. That's the beginning and end of it. Mike, I got to run, but thanks for the call. Well said. Tom in Mossy Head, Florida. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Hey, Tom, if you don't mind, I'd like to pick your brain for a minute.
Go for it.
This concerns Medicare Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some health issues here recently, and I got an appointment with my cardiologist to have a follow-up procedure done, but it's 60 miles away from where I live,
yes.
The hospital. And I'm trying to get transportation because they won't let me drive down there because apparently they sedate you.
Mm.
And it's a policy. You can't drive for 24 hours.
Right.
And I've called, I don't know how many. I got two pages of phone numbers trying to get transportation. I've got Medicare and Medicaid, but I didn't realize I had the bare minimum. I finally got somebody to tell me the truth that I didn't have enough insurance. to cover like transportation. I've never needed anything other than, you know, my doctor and prescription, right. which is covered. You know, I've called these numbers, you know, it turns out all they're trying to do is push Medicare Advantage on me.
Yeah, of course.
You've kind of not too high on Medicare Advantage. Can you tell me exactly what that is or how it works? I can't afford $300-$400 a month.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. The real Medicare does cost you a couple $100 a month, depending on your income. And then if you want to fill in that 20% gap, which is only applies to some things, you know, that can cost you another couple $100 a month. So it's not cheap.
Right.
Whereas there are Medicare Advantage plans that are very cheap. The problem is that very often they don't cover much. And so, right. you know, this is why we need a national health care program for everybody. The mutual companies, Ben Franklin started the first mutual insurance company in America. It was a fire insurance company. It's still in business, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And mutual companies are owned by their stockholders. You know, the insurance that I get, I have real Medicare, and then I have this gap program that comes from one of these mutual companies. And, you know, I even got a ballot in the mail the other day to vote for the board of directors. You know, so they're basically... Say what?
You said real Medicare. I just wanted to interrupt you. You keep saying real Medicare?
Yeah, real Medicare for the federal government. That's you sign up with the Social Security Administration for Medicare. If you are talking to an insurance company, you don't have real Medicare. You've got Medicare Advantage. They call it Medicare. They pretend it's Medicare. It's not. Real Medicare doesn't have any insurance companies involved in it at all. You're just talking to the feds. And they do not pre-approve things.
Yeah, I have this Medicare I signed up years ago.
Yeah, and they take a couple $100 a month out of your Social Security. Tom, if I could, I'm up against a break here, but if I can make a suggestion, maybe this hasn't occurred to you. I went through this recently where I had to travel a distance for a minor medical procedure that involved anesthesia. You might want to drive that 60 miles and then get a really cheap hotel room and just, you know, park at the hotel. Take a taxi over to the hospital, take a taxi back when you're done to the hotel, spend the night in the hotel, and then the next morning when you're feeling better, drive yourself back home. That might be a lot cheaper than trying to get an Uber or get a ride, for what it's worth.
Oh, yeah, there's $300-$400. Cheapest one was like $400-some to take me down and bring me home.
I can imagine, yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, but you can, you know, you can probably get a cheap hotel room for in the neighborhood of $100 a night if you look around, you know.
Okay.
Well, Tom, I wish you the very best.
Okay. Well, my heart's still going. It about blew up.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I'm serious.
Take a good look. There's a film that you, if you're concerned about your heart, there's a film that you can see on, I believe it's on Netflix, but you can probably see it for free on YouTube. It's called Forks Over Knives, like putting a fork on top of your knife. You got to watch that movie, Tom. You got to watch that movie. It's about actually healing heart disease. Tom, I'm out of time. I got to run. Good luck. I wish you the very best, my friend. It's 48 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Talk media for the rest of us. We'll be right back with your calls. And welcome back. Jerry in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Jerry, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I was thinking about this electing candidates. The Republicans shout loud and clear, loser, 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 flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. And the Democrats are talking real nice, but they need to be saying flip-flop, flip-flop on Trump and loser, 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 and use that strategy and apply to the psychology of the American people.
I agree. My argument is to use the word corruption, but I think we're saying the same thing, Jerry.
Corruption is kind of a big word, but
Three syllables.
What I'm getting at is and pedophile. Those words need to be shouted loud and clear.
Yeah.
And
traitor too.
Kind of like a hidden persuader.
Yeah. 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 Vance Packard would love this. I would like to see the Democrats using the word traitor more often too. I mean, just think about what Republicans would do if the tables were turned. I mean, it would be no holds barred. Republicans went nuts and turned it into a week-long saga when Barack Obama wore a tan suit. Oh my God, it's not presidential. And now we've got this guy tweeting out that he's Jesus, you know, or that Jesus is now his best friend. I mean, it's crazy. Jerry, thank you. I was spot on. I agree with you.
I read the book Hidden Persuader too.
Yeah, by Vance Packard back in 1967. I think that book came out or thereabouts.
You bet.
And
I got to get the message out and apply to the psychological deal in politics.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good day.
I'm with you. Thank you, Jerry.
My call.
Yep, sure enough. Good to hear from you. Alma in Stony Ford, California. Hey, Alma, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, what I worry about is that after we get all the voting done and everything has happened okay at the polls, when we're transporting the uncounted ballots to the counting facilities, I worry that Trump's goons are going to come and stop them and seize them as evidence of some kind of fake, you know, BS that they're going to come with, fake fraud cases. If that happens, we'll never see those ballots again.
That appears to be one of the strategies that they are seriously thinking about. So I share your concern.
Yeah, well, I want armored cars and full security. I live in a rural county, which is one of three counties that they won in California, which scares the hell out of me.
Yeah. Alma, our hope, the thing that I think will get us through this is, you know, people like Mark Elias, who's fighting the good fight. I mean, it's just amazing the work that this guy is doing with his law firm. Yeah. And we've invited him on the program a bunch of times, but he's just apparently too busy. But his work is worth supporting, both promoting it on social media, and if you have the means, even financially supporting it. I support him. And there's a few others. There's some good organizations. Common Cause is doing great work around voting rights. ACLU, NAACP, they're all doing great work on voting, and they're all looking at this election. So I'm not despairing, Alma. I think there's going to be a lot of kicking back, but I do agree they're going to try everything they can to hang on to power because they're scared to death.
If you're not despairing, I'll hang on.
Okay. No, I I'm not despairing at all. Alma, thank you for the call. Good talking to you. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So between his tax cuts and crashing the debt ceiling and shifting billions of Treasury dollars into crypto and tariffs and all this other stuff, Trump is threatening to crash our economy. And he doesn't seem to be particularly worried about that. Why would that be? Well, first off, economic disasters are great excuses to cut taxes. Both Reagan and George W. Bush used recessions as their excuse to stimulate the economy by cutting trillions from the taxes of billionaires. Secondly, economic crises increase the tolerance for strongman governments. Hitler rode to power in Europe based on the Great Depression. And third, billionaires make a fortune when there's a market crash because they can buy all the stock that average people are trying to unload from their 401ks to pay the damn rent. There's a whole article about this that lays the whole thing out over at HartmanReport.com. It's titled Crashing the Economy, Trump's Blueprint for Power and Profit. Check it out. And it's past the hour. Tom in Seal Beach, California. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to point out that while oil and gas are the most volatile of all traded commodities, and they're subject to leaks, spills, explosions. For more than a year now, the L.A. Department of Water and Power has been receiving solar electricity with battery storage at a guaranteed price of less than 3.3 cents per kilowatt hour.
Wow.
Guaranteed for 25 years.
Wow.
And they're going to be able to receive up to 7% of their demand from that one facility.
That's amazing. 3.3 cents.
Comparing that to a fossil fuel plant, fossil fuel plants are down for a minimum of 2 weeks, sometimes up to 2 months every year for routine maintenance, plus they're down for emergency maintenance beyond that. Wind and solar, you almost never have to shut the whole plant down.
Right. Well, plus the fossil fuel plants are burning down our planet.
Just a fraction of a percent. Maybe... Yeah, you close one wind generator, and the rest of them are working while you maintain it. You don't have to shut down the whole system.
Yeah, it's a little it's kind of internally decentralized. Excellent points, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Tom, I really like your idea about corruption with the Republican Party. We've got to defeat the party.
Mm-hmm.
They have failed America. They don't know what it is to be an American.
Yeah, and haven't since the 80s. I mean, Reagan began this thing.
You're right. We've got to bring this out and hammer them on it. We've got the evidence to show the destruction they've caused the middle class and poor.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Oh, yeah. When Reagan came into office, two-thirds of us were in the middle class with a single paycheck. Today, it's 43% of us, and it requires two paychecks. And that's 100% because of Republican policies over the last 45 years. 100%.
Not only that, Tom, but look at all the damage with COVID, the box COVID, with the Iraq war, Reaganomics. You go through the whole thing, the destruction of America in the middle class is the Republican Party.
Attacks on our public schools, attacks on unions. I'm with you, Mark. I'm with you. Thank you for the call, and thanks for validating my idea. And thank you for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us. That includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe. Take your vitamins. Get out there and take a walk. You know, it's so important. Just walk a couple blocks, if nothing else. And I'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
George Orwell spoke bluntly about the nefarious nature of advertising, calling it, quote, the rattling of a stick inside a swill bucket. Even Orwell, though, would have been astonished by the cacophony of swill bucket advertising currently being blasted at us by Amazon, Google, Meta, and other profiteering tech giants. What are they trying to sell? Pure hogwash. Having spent billions to develop artificial intelligence so humanoid robots can displace workers, the tech geniuses are now rushing to build thousands of vast computer data centers necessary to power their brave new AI world. Each center will suck up local water supplies, drastically raise people's utility bills, create monstrous industrial blight and pollution, and enthrone such autocratic thugs as Bezos, Musk, and Zuckerberg as absentee political bosses with domineering power over each locality. But the billionaires forgot something. You and me, we the people, are in open rebellion against this Orwellian future. With officials in multiple states and localities just saying hell no to the profiteers' invasive scams. Thus, the billionaire hucksters are frantically rattling their swill sticks. For example, Mark Zuckerberg, whose Meta Goliath already operates 26 massive data centers and is now spending $600 billion to plop more of them in our communities, has launched a multi-million dollar offensive to beat back local opponents. It's running BS television ads in state capital cities, financing political candidates to hype the data centers, deploying untold numbers of lobbyists to rig the rules against opponents, and hiring an army of, quote, community affairs agents to spread AI propaganda. This is Jim Hightower saying,